Hey, it's Darren Johnson, Campus XM Real Journalism Podcast. Journalism that costs a dollar, journalism that costs $2, journalism that's sometimes free, journalism that didn't have a plan to go to the web and make money, journalism that's in free fall, journalism that's still reliant on print for revenue. I own a small town paper, and that's what I do, and then I own another paper, a free paper, and I talk about owning a paper, but I also talk about other things. So that was Peebo Bryson and someone else. I'm in car studio, and my wife, she leaves the Love Channel on, so I thought I would just keep it there so I don't have to change it back, because we have a car in the shop, and it's the COVID apocalypse, and she's going to work. She works in a daycare, and I'm a journalist, so I get to work from home. And it just seems like during this whole corona apocalypse, and I just turning off the engine, copy edited an article, you know, from the wire service that I put into one of the papers just now as I was laying it out. And it was like, hey, how do I cope during this corona apocalypse thing? And, you know, I feel like everything's falling apart. And I feel like, you know, even like my electronic devices are not working all of a sudden. They're just having like crashes and stuff. And I think that's like, that kind of encapsulates everything, you know, that I've been having that too, that the electronic devices during this whole thing have just stopped working. It's like when someone dies and your watch stops, if you've ever had that phenomenon happen, it's like something weird is going on where, you know, I've had, and I'm pretty good with electronics. I'm not one of those people that doesn't know how to use the remote control or set the clock on the VCR. That used to be the tell-all if you knew technology, like in the 90s, 80s, if you could set the clock on the VCR. And, you know, I'm not unlike that at all, but I've been having, like, computer mayhem since this whole thing happened. I had a 17-inch laptop that I'd been doing all my layouts on because it's comfortable. I get to sit on a Lazy Boy and lay it out. And that just stopped working, and I was able to pull the hard drive, and you could hear about some of this on previous podcasts, and put it on an old Mac that I had sitting around, and that Mac is working, but I wanted to get back to having a laptop, so I said, hey, I'll get a Mac laptop, so I bought a used MacBook Pro, and I figured it was just the minimum of what I needed, so I got it pretty cheap off of eBay, relatively, and so I installed the newest system on it, because you have to install the new system so that all the updates are on it, and it's, you know, less likely to be hacked. And I installed the new system, and then the whole computer just stopped working. It had like the black screen of death, they call it. So, you know, that even collapsed on me, and I wasn't able to use this computer I got as soon as I put the new system on it. I put new RAM in it too, and all kinds of stuff, trying to get it going. Read every instruction manual. I've spent like 20 hours trying to get this thing going again. You know, what's going on with that? So, you know, have that issue. Then we've had like two car repairs in this whole corona apocalypse. And this car I'm in now needs some brakes, obviously. And it seems like all these things are happening that normally wouldn't happen all at once. This corona apocalypse, it's only been 45 days or so, but it seems like it's been like years. It seems like it's been going on and on and on. So, you know, big change has to happen. So, one thing I'm thinking of, you know, and I bought a microphone, another electronic device in this, and I bought like this good compressor microphone. I'm not using it now. You know, you might be able to tell I'm not using a high-end condenser microphone. I have this portable. It's not bad. But you know, I plan to start doing the podcast with that, maybe having guests and such. And so I get it. And then I learned that I have to get some kind of, like electronic amplifier for a microphone of that sort, or it won't work. No one told me that. You know, I bought the microphone like it was an all-in-one thing, and no one told me that I needed like this, I don't know what it's called, some kind of like relay of I don't know, it amps up the microphone. So that just came in the mail today, and I haven't hooked it up yet. But I think I'm going to restart this podcast because it basically, it doesn't really have like a central message to it. It is, I thought, you know, first off, I would just talk about my life and things like that. And I got a little traction there, but then I had a job change. And so I couldn't post for a while. And then I went independent. So I started talking about like my job and work, and I own Campus News. So I started under that brand, Campus XM. You know, I bought the domain name and everything. And I thought I'd talk about like the issues about putting out small newspapers and what it's like. And I know there's thousands of people like that across the country, but I also thought I would intertwine in the personal stories and keep it interesting. But I'm not really getting the added traffic from people interested in small town journalism and, you know, surviving at that level. It seems like there's a lot of podcasts out there that talk about journalism. I don't know if they do any, if they get good numbers or not. So I don't think I'm getting a lot of people from that aspect. And a lot of the, you know, people that don't care that much about it are, they're not really, you know, it's a mixed message. So they don't know whether to listen or not. And then add to it this whole corona apocalypse thing. And it's, you know, people were listening to this in the gym or in the car, driving to work, and people aren't doing a lot of either anymore. They're around the house where it's even hard to think, let alone read a book or something. And that's why I have to go to Car Studio to record this. I used to just record it in my living room sometimes because I had the house to myself a good number of times. So I think I'm going to revamp this. This is one of the last podcasts I'll do under the Campus XM banner, unless some miracle happens and I get like, I go back to the numbers I had a couple of years ago where I was getting like over 1,000 downloads a podcast. And I don't know if I don't get 1,000 downloads anymore. They just don't happen all at once anymore. Like it used to be, I'd get the 1,000 like right away. And now it's like you get 50 a week over a certain number of times. And some podcasts, I don't know if the search feature changed in podcast apps or what, you know, what the difference is. But I think Apple has given up on my podcast too at this point because they don't really promote it. So I think if I started from scratch with a new URL and a new RSS feed and a new microphone, I can go in a different direction and try to have more of a cohesive theme and theme music and all of that, you know, which I already have set up with my, with a podcast idea I had, which I think I'm going to keep. It was called End Times Podcast, and I had a theme song commissioned and everything. So you can find that theme song on Campus XM or endtimespodcast.com, and you'll find that theme song. So I think I might go in that direction and see if it takes off. We're in end times now, so why not? So, you know, I'm in Car Studio, and we just had a dumpster in the yard right next to where my car is parked, and it was picked up today, and we filled it full of stuff, 450 square foot gallon. Dumpster. It was 450 somethings, and it was a dumpster. And you know, that and the MacBook Pro that doesn't work and the car problems, and like we filled it full of like the things that just weigh us down in life. Like at a yard sale, we picked up a Catholic school desk and chair at one point, and I, you know, thought it was cool. My daughter was little, and we never really ended up using it. It just ended up being something in the basement that we would throw things on top of. So throw that in the dumpster. Tons of stuffed animals we won at at carnival games. Throw it in the dumpster. You know, just like all these things that weigh you down and that you really don't need if you think about it. And you always think like, oh, you know, maybe I can sell it on eBay. Can sell it for $5 or something. But, you know, are you really ever going to do that? And then you think, oh, I can give it to the poor. So I'll just hold it till then. But the poor don't want stuffed animals. You know, they really don't. They, you know, and your odd size clothes might go into some kind of thrift store and maybe someone will find it and buy them for $5. Whereas normally they cost $40 for some shirt or something. And they might find a bargain, you know, and that, I guess, is nice. But some things, you know, you just can't save. You know, people don't want worn out clothes. So throw out all those. Throw out things that you know you're never going to need again. I had a printer, a big workhorse printer, and it did the job. And you don't want to get rid of things that do the job. Did the job for the longest time. But it's big and heavy. And it started producing like a black line in everything I printed. And, you know, just chuck it in there. I don't know if a printer counts as electronics, but just chuck it in there. So, stuff like that. You know, stuff like that. Just throw out all these things. My hair is growing. So that's all over the map, too. I'm like a troll doll. Hair just goes all over. I have to use, like, Prel shampoo to weigh down my hair and get all the grease out from going all over the place. So that's what's going on there. It's a rainy night. It's cold. I had a cigar going at the beginning of this, but it's too hard to talk and smoke a cigar, so I'll smoke it in a little bit. I need to relax. I'm getting out an issue of the paper, and I feel like it's mostly done. The local paper, I still have to do a campus news, too. But I feel like it's mostly done, and, you know, it's kind of depressing in that now with, and this is what a lot of papers are going through. I just spoke with, you know, some newspaper people today. It seems like at least 10% of papers are on permanent, you know, they're gone now because of this whole coronavirus thing. Probably more of them will lose out, and that's probably good because I think my two newspapers will survive, so that's good if other papers kind of leave and gives me more room to move around because some people still want to advertise in print and they like the tangible nature of it and it still has some value. And if there's less of these print publications around, especially like the free ones that come in the mail, those kind of, those steal a lot of ads from my local paper, the Journal. If those disappear, that's probably a good thing. For the most part. The only thing is, though, if a lot of those disappear, two things. The printing plants might go out of business, and we all kind of use the same printing plant. And second, the post office might raise their rates because they're getting less revenue from mailed newspapers. And I do mail one of my newspapers. It's a paid circ, but I do mail it, so I don't want to see the rates go up too much. It's kind of a nice thing that the post office does is allows mail. I don't know, you know, hopefully if they do cancel periodical mail, the post office, because the post office is always under threat, hopefully they give us like a year or two to kind of let the advertisers know so that we can figure out an alternative way to get them the paper somehow. And you can't just say, oh, just give them a digital paper because they don't really want that. They want the hard copy in the mail. So that's where I am at this point in time with those types of things. I found, I'm going to talk about movies. And, you know, maybe I should put this at the front of the podcast because it's probably a little bit more mainstream and interesting. But I went looking for, you know, this whole coronavirus thing and being sequestered in your home and, you know, quarantined and throwing out all our items into a big dumpster. It's a little, you know, it made me kind of nostalgic. And, you know, we also threw out our furniture too. That was another thing. We threw out like a couch and a love seat. They were getting old and nasty. And we ordered some new ones. It was just, that's one thing. The furniture stores are doing, like, free delivery now. So, and they had pretty good prices. So we just had, like, a bunch of furniture delivered. It wasn't that expensive at all. And, you know, there goes any extra revenue checks we get from the government. But it was, if we get them. But that was kind of a nice thing to do in all of this. But I went looking for a movie I liked in the 80s, and you never see it anymore. It's called The Last American Virgin. And the reason why I think you don't see it anymore, there's probably a few reasons. First off, it's very politically incorrect. And not as bad as Porky's. You never see Porky's anymore because the humor in that was a little bit mean-spirited and racist and sexist and you know, that type of thing. It seems like Last American Virgin, the humor, there's a lot of jokes, they are politically incorrect, but they come from a good place. And some movies that have politically incorrect humor still exist. Like, you still see them. You still see Revenge of the Nerds on TV every now and then. But there's a lot of politically incorrect humor in that. Or Animal House, you still see it on TV now and then. So, but Last American Virgin, you never see. For the longest time, you couldn't find it anywhere. It didn't come to DVD until, like, I don't know, a few years ago. And it's from 1982 or 81 or 82 or something. So it was out for 30 plus years before it made it to DVD. So it only existed on VHS tape, and they were old tapes. So they would sell for a lot on eBay because there weren't that many of them. I found a couple at a video store going out of business once, bought them and put them on eBay, and I think they sold for like $70 each or some crazy number. There was a time when certain VHS tapes would sell because they didn't have a DVD version and people wanted them. So there was that. Then I remember, like, as a kid, you know, kid like maybe 15 or so, getting a book of, like, I don't know, of every movie ever made or something. And they had movies that were bad. They had, like, a turkey symbol next to, like, the all-time worst movies, Golden Turkey or something. And I remember that movie had, like, no stars and a golden turkey. Like, it was one of the worst movies ever made, according to the maker of that book. And it was like a, you know, like a Roger Ebert type person that made that book. A well-known critic. One of the worst movies of all time. So even in the 80s, they thought it was bad. But people I've met who remember it say, yeah, that's a great movie. But very few people remember it because it didn't get much airplay. It was overshadowed by Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which was also a high school movie. And it had some issues with it. So in retrospect, people kind of liked this movie, but it didn't do much box office, and it got critical, like, you know, nuclear meltdown from critics. It was just, they just hated it in every way. All right, that's number one reason why it's not around. It's like, that's one. Two is, it has a soundtrack that is, like, unbelievably good. So teen movies were hot in the early 80s, and this was, I think it's a Paramount movie, so it had a major studio behind it. So all these major bands jumped on board, and it has, like, the Cars, the Police, the Waitresses, you know, Quincy Jones, REO Speedwagon, Journey, all these bands from the early 80s that were big at the time had a Blondie. They all had songs in this movie. They weren't written specifically for the movie. They were just songs, but they have these, like, really good soundtrack. But that's a minus because you can't really air this on a major network, because then you have to pay the music rights and all of that. So getting it to DVD was probably a major fiasco. I don't know if the DVD cuts out certain songs or what, but the VHS is the version that has all the songs on it, if you can find it. So that's another reason why. The third reason why that it didn't make it to, and this might go in a little bit with the political incorrectness that I mentioned in number one, but number three is it has a very negative ending. And it has, and it doesn't have any stars in it either. So, you know, the level of stars are the girl is Diane Franklin, whose only other movie, she's like a frizzy-haired brunette. And her only other movie, which was very popular, but it was cult popular. It wasn't popular in the movies, but I knew a lot of kids in high school loved this movie, was Better Off Dead with John Cusack, a skiing movie. And she plays like a French exchange student, and her accent's horrible. She's a horrible actress, but she had a cute look, and she was in that movie, and, you know, a lot of people liked her. So she's the only quasi-star in The Last American Virgin. There's a guy named, I think, Steve Anton, and his only other notable credit was he played Jesse in the Jesse's Girl Rick Springfield video. So he played Jesse, you know, from that song, that insipid song from the early 80s. And that was about it. None of the other actors ever went on to anything. It's not a single actor in it. It's set in Southern California, like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And it's, so it doesn't have any major actors, but that's not what number three is. It has, like, this very negative ending. And I guess you can kind of, you know, here's the plot. It has a lot of gags and is funny, but people expect a comedy movie to have, like, to be neatly tied up at the end and have a happy ending. Like, in American Pie, they're all, you know, they win the lacrosse championship and they're in the school musical and they all are buddies again, and they realize, oh yeah, maybe it wasn't such a big deal to lose their virginity after all, or whatever. And this is yet another virginity movie, but losing your virginity movie. But in it, the main character, I think his name is Lawrence Moranson, or Monson or something, you know, not a good looking fellow. He's the main character. He falls in love from afar with the Diane Franklin character, whose name is Karen in the movie. And Karen with a K, he says. And there's a typo on the box where it's spelled with a C. I don't know if they did that on purpose. But in the movie, he says Karen with a K. And they spelled it Karen with a C on the box of the VHS. So maybe that's what makes it so valuable. Who knows? So he's in love with Karen, and from afar, and his friend, you know, his friend knows that he is the Jesse's girl guy, knows that he's in love with her, but still, because he's good looking and he's suave and all that, he still takes Diane Franklin's virginity. Now, it's unclear who the last American virgin is. Is it Diane Franklin, or is it, you know, the main character in this? And it's hard to tell, because, like, what's virginity? They do some things. They pick up a prostitute at one point in this, and you assume he had sex with the prostitute. And then they have all these near sex incidents, like they do a pizza delivery, and he brings his friends with him because he knows there's a horny woman who he delivers pizzas to, and she seduces them, and then her boyfriend comes back from sea. You know, he's a sailor, and he chases him out of there, and it's, you know, another scene, hijinks, and they get crabs at one point. And they try to drown them in a pool. You know, there's a lot of that type humor in it. So
And that's, you know, if you're a male, especially in the 80s, and that's really what how your mind worked too. You just were not in control of yourself. So there's lots of incidents. So who's the virgin in this is questionable. But so he's in love with the Diane Franklin character, but his friend, his better looking, more suave friend, beds her first. She gets pregnant. The friend denies any responsibility for her pregnancy. And the main character sells all his worldly goods and comes up with the money to get her an abortion, puts her up in his grandmother's cottage up in the woods, and sees her to good health after her abortion. And he finally tells her he loves her, and she invites him to her birthday party, and he goes to get a locket for her birthday party with her name inscribed in it because he thinks they're a couple now. And that's where he says, you know, make sure you inscribe it Karen with a K. And he gets the locket, and because, you know, he has to wait for the locket, he's a little late. He gets to the birthday party, and she's back with the guy that had impregnated her and abandoned her. And he sees them, and he walks off with a bottle of Jack Daniels, and he goes driving off, and that's the end of the movie. So it's like the darkest ending to a comedy movie I can think of. But it's real. It's like that more so encapsulates the high school experience than any of these other movies. And it has a great soundtrack. You know, like you could just play it just for the soundtrack, play it as background. So I've been looking for this movie forever. I have it on my searches, like on the DVR if it should ever come up or anything like that, because the VHS tape I had, I don't know where it went. And I tried to copy it from the web onto a DVD, but it looked awful and it kind of skipped around. And it's hard copying stuff from the web to a DVD. So I tried to do that. And I guess I could have bought the new DVD version, but I wanted all the songs and I wanted it to be the original. Just like they say the Star Trek on VHS, if you get the original, you know, Star Trek trilogy on VHS, a lot of people collect that because it's the fuller version for some reason. So a lot of people look for that. So I wanted the original. So on Roku, and I guess you could do this in any smart TV app, if you have like a smart TV or Roku or Apple TV or any of those little devices you hook up to your TV, or if your TV just happens to be smart. I said, I'm feeling nostalgic. I just threw out a bunch of stuff from my teen years and 20s and et cetera. And let me look for this movie. I never find it anywhere. So I did the search on Roku, and it gave me this channel called Movieland TV with a really horrible logo. It's an app. So downloaded the app. It's free. And it's like the best app in the world. I think it's probably just some guy, because it just has some guy's name attached to it. And he must be like going to, I don't know if this is even legal what he's doing. Like, who knows if he has rights to it. It's hard to tell. I tried to do a search on the web and I couldn't really tell. He must be going to like his local library or thrift store or something and getting closeouts and old movies and putting them up on this app. So it's called Movieland TV. Who knows how much longer it'll be up. But, and you could tell that these haven't been digitized. They seem like the video quality's fine, but it's not like as sharp a video quality as Netflix or Hulu or something. It's like they haven't been compressed properly or something. So I found this app and I found the movie I wanted, and I'm like, all right, this is great. This is, you know, great. And it was all there. The movie exactly as I remember it. Perfect. I'm going to watch it again. But I went searching around this Movieland TV, and it has lots of, like, movies, and not all of them are politically correct, but they're good still. And it makes you wonder, like, what the whole point of political correctness is. Is it just stifling people's opinions? Like, there was one called The Naked Prey from the early 60s or mid-60s or something. And it was a bunch of elephant hunters in Africa, American elephant hunters. And they were on expedition. It's based on a true story. They're on expedition, and they have a bunch of guides, African guides. And, you know, these are like, I used to read books about Africa from the Anglo perspective, the English perspective, or the American perspective back when I was younger. And yes, you know to take them with a grain of salt because they're from one point of view. But this movie wasn't bad. I think it was nominated for like best screenplay or something for an Academy Award at the time. I looked it up. And it is really authentic. They use real Africans. They're in Africa. They show like elephants being shot. They had footage somehow, which is pretty grisly to think about now. You know, it's definitely not correct, but does that mean you shouldn't watch it? Because people did hunt elephants. Like, do you not watch it and pretend it doesn't, it never existed? But people did watch them. And there's a lot of like scenes in this, and you get a feel for Africa and what it's like and these tribes. And this is stuff that's being recorded, and it's closer to its era, and now it might have suffered from the biases of its era, but people in, and let's say I think these travelogues were from the early 1900s or late 1800s or something. The source material was closer to the actual time when people acted like this in Africa. People hunted, and the tribes, you know, they all had their own personality. So So they are passing through an area, and the safari people on their way to hunt elephants, and they encounter a tribe who asks for a gift. It's like, yeah, to pass through our area, you have to give us a gift. And one of the guys is like, yeah, you know, that's their custom, give them a gift. And the other guy who's running the expedition says, no, you know, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of giving gifts everywhere we go. This is ridiculous. They're just a bunch of beggars. You know, I'm sick of giving gifts. So, you know, they argue and they push their way through and they don't give a gift. So then they go hunt their elephants and they're, you know, celebrating after. And they're with, you know, the people, the actual guides are the ones gutting the elephants and because they don't have guns, so it's rare for them to kill an elephant. So they're gutting it, and you know, the white guys just want the tusks because I guess they were worth a lot of money. And then they get the tribe that they disrespected shows up in force with hundreds of them, and they capture everyone, and then they bring them back to their tribe. And they do gruesome things to everyone, except one. The one guy who's the star of the movie, they decide to play a game with him. So they shoot an arrow as far as they can shoot it, and it goes like 200 yards or something, and they tell him to go running. So he runs, and the game they're playing is once he gets to the arrow, the tribesmen start chasing him one by one with the spear. So the first tribesman goes and starts chasing him after he passes the arrow, catches up to him, throws the spear, misses. The guy grabs the spear and kills the tribesman and then takes his clothes and shoes. So the naked part of the movie is over, the naked prey part. And, you know, some of the other people, they were cooked alive on a spit, and another one was like fed to snakes, you know. So it wasn't good what they did to the other members of the safari. So he knew his life was in a whole lot of a whole mess of trouble. So the guy, you know, goes running, and he eventually, you know, I'm not done with it yet, but I got the gist of what's going to happen in the movie. But he has to, you know, figure out like how to get by wildlife, how to survive out in the desert of you know, with minimal food and drink, wild animals everywhere. And it's interesting, and it's a movie that probably isn't all that politically correct. You know, you can't say that maybe 200 years ago people of, you know, one nationality were more advanced than people of another nationality as far as technology went. Like, they had guns, and that's how they were able to conquer an area. And it might make the tribesmen seem primitive, that they were cooking people and feeding them to snakes and such, and that was their game. It makes me wonder if we're all just born into some reality, though. If you're born into that tribe, that's who you are. If you're born into the type where you think you can go hunt elephants, that's not good either. And you're one of these entitled people, like, is that you too? Is that how do you get born into this? And how do you escape it if you're born into something? Is that you? So that was on there. Then there was some old Australian movie about a bunch of girls that went missing in 1900. And I looked up the book and such. And if I can get the light on in Car Studio, let me see. It's called Picnic at Hanging Rock. Hanging, as in hang a person, Rock. Picnic at Hanging Rock, set in Australia in 1900. But the movie is really from the 70s, I believe. I'm going to start up the car, too, so that the battery doesn't die. And it was a weird movie. So I looked it up. It was based on a book, and it's considered one of Australia's best books. And I guess being a best book from Australia, it's like having the best book from Canada or something. It's not quite U.S., England, Russia, you know, some of these powerhouse countries. But still, I think I'd rather, honestly, have the best book in Australia than the 10,000th best book in the U.S. I think I'd rather have that. But it was written in a way where no one knew if it was fiction or nonfiction. And so the author was a woman, and she sold a lot of books that way. I looked her up on Wikipedia, and she never revealed if it was true or not, even though it was obviously not true. But it was an interesting take and a look at, like, these very Victorian acting Australians, and another, like, story of, I guess this was common, turn of the century, of civilized people going into an uncivilized place and how it affected the town when some of the girls just went missing. Like, they didn't know what happened to the girls. And now I want to get the book to see how it's written, if it's that good of a book. And then there's supposed to be a secret chapter that was published after the author's death or something that was never published with the book. Like, she wanted this other chapter, and the publisher said, no, the book is better just to leave it ambiguous, like, where we don't know what happened to the girls. But she wanted to have, like, a little chapter summing up what happened to the girls. So it sounds interesting. Sounds like an interesting book and movie. And then on there, you know, it seems like this guy just went to his local thrift store and bought a bunch of VHS tapes and put them, you know, he's digitizing them and throwing them on an app. They had Throw Mama from the Train, the Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito movie, and it has Kate Mulgrew, who was the captain on Star Trek Voyager and played Red in Orange is the New Black. And I remember this movie getting mediocre reviews, and I looked it up. It did get mediocre reviews back in the day, and didn't really stand the test of time. I don't really see it anymore, Throw Mama from the Train. But it was kind of a cute movie. It was Billy Crystal's a writing teacher, a failed writer. Now, this is almost a cliche, because writing about writers is usually cliche. It's kind of a cop-out to write about writers. But, all right, fine. He's a writing teacher. He's failed. He feels that his wife, Kate Mulgrew, whatever her name is in the movie, stole his book. And now she's an ex-wife, and he's upset at her success. So Danny DeVito's a weird guy who lives with a horrible mother who screams at him. She's a horrible, disgusting person. And he's a schlub. and he's taking this writing class with Billy Crystal. And Billy Crystal, you know, Danny DeVito's like this nudge, and he overhears Billy Crystal saying, "Oh, I wish, you know, she would just die," like, because he hated his ex-wife so much. And so Danny DeVito takes it seriously. He's a little weird. And he thinks in his mind that Billy Crystal will kill his mother, who he can't kill, but who's killing him emotionally, if he kills Billy Crystal's ex-wife. So he goes on a cruise ship, and mayhem ensues. And it was a cute little movie. It was all tied together, and it had some poignant moments. You know, the cop asked Billy Crystal's friend, like, "Do you think he killed his wife?" And the friend says, "No, you know, why not?" It's like, because he's not someone who does anything. And it kind of sums up who he is as a writer. He's someone who just doesn't take chances, and maybe that's why the way he is. Maybe he's a loser for a reason, and, you know, he doesn't have that extra edge. So, not bad. Watchable movie, especially without commercials on some app that is probably going to be, the FBI is probably going to raid this guy's house and take all his VHS tapes, and, you know, that channel will be mysteriously off the air pretty soon. So catch it while you can, the Movieland TV app. Well, I guess I'll end this now. I have a paper to finish laying out. I'm going to be up early in the morning. This is Darren Johnson checking out. Find more of these on campusxm.com today.